A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us online. Tony, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this week.
And good morning to you, Jerry.
No, we got a comment in, and we were talking last week about people calling and people being too needy and other pressures that can come from friends sometimes. But we got a comment in late last week, and it said, recently a friend of mine got into a habit of calling me late at night. One call was made at 12:10 a.m. My solution was to tell them I was blocking them for a week. That solved the problem. The person is still a friend of mine.
Yeah, it solved the problem, all right, but you might lose a friend. It depends on how you communicate that information. I always believe in talking to people in a very gentle way, because, well, I was doing counselling for years, and you have to be fairly easy with people, especially when they're stressed out. But,
yeah,
you know, somebody usually doesn't call that late at night or that early in the morning, unless there's something going on with them. And if they're a good friend, I'd just be a little careful how I would approach it. I'd you know, bring them out for a coffee, and while we're sitting down and having a chat, I'd say, well, look, you know, you've been calling very late, and I usually go to bed early, so I'm going to maybe turn the phone off or block the phone or whatever for a wee while. And once that's done, then, of course, that won't give offence if it's done in the right sort of way. And that's how I would go about it. But, you know, some people, you know, too many people knee-jerk. We all knee-jerk at times, of course. But, you know, if you knee-jerk very hard with somebody like that, you can actually knock them off the edge, and they can get very, very upset, and you could lose a friend. That'd be my take.
Yeah, if you're too harsh about it, then that could be the particular problem in relation to it.
Yeah, well, if you look all the time at people protesting or you know, giving out, it's knee-jerk type of stuff. There's not enough, I'll use the word diplomacy, but there's not enough taking care of how we communicate with people. And I think it's probably one of the major problems in the world today. You know, that people, instead of, if they're annoyed by something or somebody is doing something that's, you know, not right, there's ways of communicating. And if you communicate the right way, you'll get, most of the time, well, you'll get, some people will just tell you, go, what to do with yourself. But most of the time, you'll get a reasonable response back. And that's what you want with a friend. You want a good response. And as I said, I would pick a time and place, maybe over a coffee, that sort of thing, before I deliver that type of message.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Tony, we were talking about the element as well, and the remarkable statistics that are out from ComReg, which shows a 30% drop off in the number of phone calls being made to people, and people preferring to leave a voice note or a text or contacting people like that, and people not wanting the stress of having to deal with a person live on the other end of the line because of anxiety and other issues like that, or hassle, and the impact that's having on social interaction. Well, one of our listeners got in touch in relation to this and when what we were talking about it, and said, good morning, Jerry. And it just raised an interesting issue on the same sort of a subject. I've been living in the US for over 30 years now. I go back to Kerry almost every year on holiday. No better place. Well, it's always wonderful to meet friends and family and even make new friends. I just have one concern, and I'm not alone in saying this. When I return to the US, I will always text, call on the phone, WhatsApp so many back in Kerry the rest of the year, Christmas time, Easter, New Year's, etc. But 99% will never bother to call, text or WhatsApp first. It's always me initiating it. Yes, years ago we'd say here that, you know, long distance phone calls are expensive. That doesn't hold any water in today's world, where communication is instant and free, says this listener. Are we having an issue where we're dropping off in our contact, Tony?
I think there is a drop-off. I mean, we were talking about that, I think, last week or the week before, and, you know, I mentioned, you know, the COVID thing had changed the way
had
we communicated.
Yeah, a big impact on people's habits and communication. Yeah.
And you know, the scam calls went wild there for a couple of weeks or months,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
But I think there is another factor, and I think people are, you know, there's so many means of communication now. There's dozens and if you count all the online ones and so on and so forth. And I think some people are getting a little bit browned off it, to the point of where, you know, there's always a reaction. There's action and reaction in life, as they say. And whenever there's a change in something, and the change in communication is amazing. I mean, you look at the modern phone has at least a dozen different communication types built into it. And it's just too much for some people. And then what happens is people tend to close off. There could be that factor in it. I don't know. I'm only guessing. But I think the other factors, of course, are the scams, and I think the pandemic had a big shift on how we talk and communicate as well. But I think that simple factor of, you know, too much coming at you could be part of it. I noticed myself. I keep up with Facebook and I used to do the TikTok or the, whatever they call it now. And I have cut back, but I've noticed a lot of people now are only posting, you know, once a month or something like that. You know, they're not posting regularly.
Yeah,
and I think
that tells its own story, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the surface of communication. There's too much of it. It's coming at you from all directions. And I think that gets to some people. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, interesting point, Tony. We'll talk more queries to get to with Tony after we take these.
A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line for A Problem Shared. And Tony, we have a query in from a listener. It says, our child had a serious operation almost 2 years ago, and now, thank God, everything turned out fine. We were very upset and stressed at the time. What didn't help was that I found the consultant surgeon quite cold and aloof in our dealings with him. It still bothers me how someone can be so detached and clinical when people are going through really difficult times.
Well, that's something I used to find a problem. But, you know, when I was running my own sort of practice for a number of years, I soon understood, as it were, the pressures of work, but also the pressures of communicating. And if you're a surgeon and you're a consultant surgeon, there's a huge... there's a huge amount of work to begin with, a vast amount of work in the public service and even in the private. And the other part of that then is that how far do you allow yourself to get pulled into the level of communication with people? Now, people, as they mentioned in that letter there, that they were very stressed at the time. So people like that are very needy. They need a lot of communication. You'd want to be a full-time counselor to deal with it, you know? So
yeah.
What I'm saying here is that I fully understand the sort of pressures that a surgeon is under. I fully understand, you know, just simply on the work level. They work very long hours, some of them, and they work very, very hard. And there's a huge responsibility, huge responsibility. And no doubt, I mean, very few people are, you know, lacking in empathy. But sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, maybe 50 or 100 people in a day in your consulting room, it's very hard to be empathetic to everybody. And it very often wears down the consultant to the point where they, as it were, sort of pull back.
Getting emotionally involved in order to protect themselves in terms of being able to do their job. And there's a reason why they're called clinicians. On one level, they have to be clinical about the issue of trying to heal somebody or cure someone or get the best outcome.
Absolutely. And basically, I mean, I suppose if a surgeon has a good secretariat that can communicate with the person and give that empathy, that would be great. But very often the public service is stretched that sort of thing just doesn't exist. So it leaves a surgeon fairly exposed, as it were. You know, they're dealing with a child in this case. They're operating and putting, you know, well, the anaesthetist is the one that has to wake him up, of course, but it's a hugely responsible job. And then they're trying to communicate with very upset parents, you know, and get the message across. And it by definition has to be, as it were, clinical, as you said, is a good definition of it. But there are, I mean, and I have been lucky enough down the years to find dentists, surgeons and doctors that can really communicate as well as being good clinicians. But it very often is quite rare that you get the two together. And I would say, just think of that if you're dealing with professional people who are under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, try and understand that they're just doing their job and they're doing it as efficiently as they possibly can, and they themselves are under pressure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listen, thanks very much for talking to us on the program about that again this morning for another Greater Problem Shares. Tony will be back with us next Wednesday on the program. Get your questions and queries in for him.